We talked to the John Butler live on stage at World Cafe Live today and hear the John Butler Trio play for us. Their new album is called Grand National. Now, their last album, Sunrise Over Sea, debuted at number one in Australia and was a breakthrough album for them here in the States, although that certainly had a lot to do with their live shows, which are consistently sold out and are always satisfying. We got one of those today. Let's begin with this performance of Better Than, the John Butler Trio. Live on the World Cafe, the John Butler Trio, Shannon Burchell on the acoustic bass, and Michael Barker on the stand-up drum kit, and of course, John Butler playing guitar, and we don't get enough people playing banjo.
No, it's funny. It seems to be, you know, at times black band and popular music.
Right. Isn't your son, though, named Banjo?
What was that?
What's your son's name?
My daughter's name is Banjo.
Your daughter's name is Banjo.
Yes.
Great name.
It is a good name.
Yeah.
Good instrument, good name, good kid.
You know. Well, good to see you. And besides producing children, you've produced a really nice new album, Grand National, which I was listening to this, and I was trying to figure out how to describe it to people, because it seems that both times, musically and subject matter, to be broader than what you've done before, and yet... certain things, like you just dig in on what you've done, and it's there's more depth. I don't know how you did all that, but how did it begin? How did working on this begin? Are you always writing?
Yeah, always. It's kind of a constant diary entry. That's how I kind of see my music. So writing about all the different subjects, whether it be, it's just kind of like a, the human condition, really. And some people want to go, oh, you can write protest songs and write love songs and write issue songs. And to me, there's no isms or no pigeonholes that go in. It's just a human being. We're not really interested in reinventing ourselves on every album. You know, I think we have a style and a strong style, and I think we just want to develop that and broaden our palette, add more colors to it.
Now, the last album, Sunrise Over Sea. Speaking of interpreting things, I've heard people interpret it as being inspired by where you live, where you face, you're on the East Coast, right? Uh-huh. But before that, you lived on the West Coast of Australia, and before that, the West Coast of the U.S. And what was it like for you as a kid? How old were you when you moved to Australia the first time?
I was 11. It was 1986.
And that must have been totally disorienting.
It was a huge culture shock and the best thing that ever happened to me. It was,
yeah.
You know, it was quite traumatic, but it was a good thing at the end of the day. You know, I'm really glad that my parents moved there. I moved from a place called Lomita in LA to a small country town in Western Australia called Pinjarra. Had a river in the backyard, and that was my playground. And the first thing I noticed was the schools didn't have like 10-foot high fences around it. It was amazing. And Dad, check that out. And he's like, walk out. How's that? I want to go there.
What do the kids think of you, though? What do they make of you come from the U.S.?
Well, you know, small country towns. I mean, anything that stands out and it's a little bit different usually gets, you know, hammered back in. So I got my fair share of hammering back in, but I didn't necessarily go all the way back in. So I kind of kind of found my own people.
They're everywhere, right? I was hoping you were going to be holding your dobro at this point, because there's a story about your dobro, and I don't know if you still play the same one, but when you were 16, you got your grandfather's dobro. Now, most kids, when they get their first guitar, they get like a cruddy acoustic, you know, with the strings action terrible and all that stuff. But you got a really kind of a special instrument. Were you? How did you feel about that instrument when you first got it?
Well, it was actually my third instrument. I got given a nylon and a crappy electric. The one that you're talking about, the really crap action one. I got one of those because I think that's compulsory for everybody. but yeah, after a year and a half of learning, my grandmother figured that my grandfather's guitar had a good home, and so she gave it to me. And I didn't learn how to play it for another, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. It was a really old instrument, and so the action was really high and gangly, and I didn't know how to play slide. And about when I was 21, I made it into a lap steel, and that's when it kind of came together. And it's kind of like the cornerstone. It's the cornerstone of what I do. It's the reason why I play, I guess, at the end of the day. I didn't learn guitar for that reason, but I was surrounded by a lot of people who were trying to learn for that guitar. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like the natural thing to do was just to pick up a guitar at some stage, like joining the Boy Scouts. Okay, you join the Boy Scouts, try learning guitar.
Were there people you could, you know, if you're playing an acoustic guitar, if you're playing electric, it's not a places to turn to. But there, for dobro and for that kind of slide, were there some people whose music you turned to for inspiration at that point?
Yeah, I think that what first got me into slide guitar and open tuning was Jeff Lang, an artist named Jeff Lang. He's an amazing singer-songwriter and slide player, guitarist. And when I saw him play, it definitely inspired me to, you know, grab a hacksaw and destroy some plumbing in my house and put a pipe on my finger and start having a go. And so I've always been majorly influenced by Jeff. And then Bob Rosman, who's a Californian national player, and Sol Hoopy, who's a Hawaiian player. And turned evangelist, which is an interesting story. And it's a beautiful style of playing slide. So actually originated like about 1,000 years ago in India, I found out later, which really interesting. It's another subject altogether.
On an instrument with like a whole lot of sympathetic strings.
No, actually, it started as one string.
Wow.
It started as one string. And it's actually the first Indian instrument. So when you think of slide guitar, you think of Hawaiian, you think of country, but it originated in India about 1,000 years ago. It's the first actual instrument, they say, of classical India. And then there's this other great story that this Indian boy who knew how to play one of these instruments got taken, like kidnapped by some sailors, and he ended up a few years later being one of the musicians for the Hawaiian King. And then you can see the connection there. I don't know, I mean, that's all hearsay, but I like that story. So that's what I'm going with.
John Butler's our guest on the World Cafe. You mentioned on this album how all your interests kind of come together, but you've been an activist sort of right along with being a musician. Did your kind of worldview of wanting to be able to do something about what's going on in the world sort of come at the same time as wanting to be a musician?
There'd always been something very, I mean, I think like all of us as human beings, we all have a deep sense of right and wrong and a moral sense, depending on how nailed in that gets, you know, but so it's always been there. And I mean, I guess it started, you know, when I was about 2 years old, when I wanted to join the army, and I wanted to be a Green Beret until I was about 13. I was Beret. Because I just wanted to stop injustice. That's how I thought that was the way to go about it. You know, the great propaganda machine really worked on me. And I got hammered in a bit more and rebelled a bit more. And I don't know, found music. And then when it started taking off from busking to performing, and I made a decision that I wanted to, if I was going to spend time making my music and my art and trying to get people into what I do and, you know, making posters and CDs and all very me, I had to make sure that the other half of my career was going to be very much about contributing to the world that I live in. It wouldn't have enough meaning for me personally to just go on trying to get more people into me.
One of the things you've done, I think it's kind of fascinating, is the Seed Arts program, which is a way to give back to Australian music in a way to help kids. How does it work? How does the program work?
It works by me making money and then giving it away to people who don't, really. I mean, that's how it kind of works. It was a dream of ours for a long time, mine and my partner, and when Sunrise Oversea hit really hard in Australia, we finally had the finances to make our dream a reality, and so we got together with some great minds and a little art committee and made this arts grant, and that, which is now in its third year and has five great categories, kind of ranging from Indigenous arts to social activism through the arts to musical touring, musical manufacturing of CDs, and music management workshop forums, which invites, you know, lawyers from, you know, and managers from Midnight LL to, you know, you name it. So there's a lot of great things that are going on with that. We've seen some really great results.
John Butler Trio are playing live for us, saying, let's get... everybody's wandered off.
When I start talking about myself too much, everybody's like, okay, pissing off now.
We'll get him back on stage. Yeah. What do you want to do next?
Well, we're going to play another new song. It's called Good Excuse. It's about feeling pretty lucky, you know, to live in the world that we live in. You know, we're not being carpet bombed, and we're not having to struggle for water and food like another billion people on this planet are. And sometimes when you find yourself complaining, you have to kind of basically slap yourself, go in the mirror and slap yourself in the face and say, wake up, brother, wake up. Go see what's shaking in the real world. So that's what the song's about. It's called Good Excuse.
Dark cloud is hanging. kind of us can heal the pain. And now there is only cheap regrets, yeah. I guess that's just the way it be. Is it the world or how I see me? But now you are really, really bugging. Yes, you are bugging me. Can you just shout out? Oh, your cup is overflowing, overflowing. And you think it is empty. You don't even know what's inside. You are fighting for a boy. What you turn your game, boy? I'll stop pretending it's you against the world. I am sick and I am tired of hearing you always say, I really got a good excuse to complain. My man's got a buzz in the game. Go take a step outside, see what's shaking in the real world.
I'd like to thank you all for being here, folks. Thanks a lot for coming. This is Michael Barker on drums and percussion.
Thank you.
This is Shannon Birchall on the bass frequencies. John Butler, and hopefully we'll see you guys next time.
are shouting. The way you walk, talk, look, yeah, girl, give me eyes.
Thank you very much.
John Butler Trio playing live on the World Cafe. John, thank you so much. Thanks to Michael and Shannon. Just an amazing, amazing show today. And thanks to our audience at World Cafe Live.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks again to the John Butler Trio for playing live for us today.